In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me." In yesterday's talk, we discussed the whole matter of unfulfilled desires, and I read you a letter from a woman common to many of the letters I get, her sentiments. A deep desire to be married, which is a perfectly normal and natural desire for a man or a woman. But the question as to whether or not, since God gave these desires, will God not fulfill them? The truth is that God made us so that men are attracted to women and women are attracted to men, and marriage is a natural desire. But at the same time, we have to realize that we live in a fallen world and God's original plan doesn't work out for everybody. So there are many women who have to remain single. And when these women ask me if I think God is going to fulfill their desire for a husband, all I can say is, God will give you the best thing for you, and only God knows what is best for you. Your part is simply to do what God has given you to do today, which is to be single, and to trust Him for whatever He has tomorrow. And today's question in this series on the most asked questions is related to that unfulfilled desire one. The confusion between wanting and willing. And I get a lot of letters that boil down to that basic problem. What is the difference exactly between wanting and willing? Well, I want to read you a letter. And this one isn't even from the United States, so you couldn't possibly guess who this person is if you think you might know her. She says, "I'm a Christian only since 1987, when I first met the living God, who is my Lord now. It was the first time that I had to face the problem of obedience. Do I want a real living God who has the power of making me free from the old life, but who at the same time wants to realize his own will in the new one? And after a long struggle, I decided to take him up on his offer and say yes. Of course, he was faithful and had given me, really, a new mind, a new heart, a new life. Ever since, I regard obedience as one of the most important things in walking with God. Maybe that is why I feel your books so near to me. To be obedient is difficult, and I found that the commitment has to be renewed again and again. Such a renewal took place in me this summer. The Lord called me to serve in our congregation in a Bible study group, which is for children between the ages of 13 and 17. I read the life story of Jim Elliot, Under the Shadow of the Almighty, and I understood that I have to be faithful in everything I do. I think you can guess what happened. I fell in love." And then she goes on several pages describing this very fine young Christian man, a leader in the church with whom she had fallen in love, but he had no interest at all in her as far as she could tell. "We talked only three or four times when I asked him for advice and saw him now and then when he preached on Sunday or in the church door as we exchanged greetings. He was always kind, but never showed a sign of any affection, which is, of course, quite natural. I could not be anything else in his eyes but a mere chit." This man was several years older than she. So she felt it was a pretty hopeless business. He was busy with his own work, and she wasn't sure she had anything to offer him. All this seemed so girlish, and I kept it a secret, but last summer I did tell my best friend about it, and when she did not find the idea entirely ridiculous or impossible, I started to hope. It was more than just admiration now. My feelings grew stronger, and I asked God if it was he, let's call him Joe, whom he wanted to give to me as a husband, and the answer came like this. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, who trust in His love. I understood that there is no definite answer because God wants me to trust Him, even if I do not know or understand the way where He is leading me. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. I simply have to believe that He knows what He's doing, where He's leading me, and I have to follow. The Lord gave me a task to fulfill, and I knew I could not do it wholeheartedly if my emotions are engaged elsewhere. Skipping over some more, she says, "No green light, all roads blocked." Since then, although occasionally I did have a good excuse for going to the church where this young man was preaching, I stayed. For 7 months now, I have not seen him. Sometimes I feel I cannot endure it anymore, and I will just get on a bus on Sunday or on Thursday and go. But God's word is coming silently and convinces me that it is better for me not to. I know God is right. If I met him, it would be even harder to stand still, wait, do the work that God has given. The Lord has kept me so long, but even if I can stop my feet from walking to him, I cannot stop thinking and dreaming. So here we get into this conflict between what one is willing to do and what one wants to do. I'm sure it is wrong to be thinking and dreaming. I've put the whole thing before God many times, but after every new commitment, it starts all over again. Surrendering it to God lasts only for a week or less. I am weak, and I feel so exhausted. This fight seems so hopeless. I cannot even gather the strength to want what God wants. Now that's the crux. That is the point where we meet the cross. The word crux is the Latin word for cross. And we do need to make a clear distinction between wanting and willing. We don't always have complete control over what we want to do, because wants are determined by circumstances and feelings and other people, the social climate in which we live, the times in which we live. All of these things affect what we want, don't they? Nobody ever wanted a pair of Reebok tennis shoes before Reebok tennis shoes were invented. But as soon as they're invented, then everybody wants them. In fact, a lot of people think they can't do without them. Same thing with CDs. You were perfectly satisfied with stereo before the CD came in, but then all of a sudden you want it. Now, whether you actually go to the store and buy a CD player and a bunch of CDs is a matter of willing. The fact that you want it doesn't necessarily mean that you go and buy it. Well, the same thing is true with the will of God. We can determine to will to do his will. That is a conscious choice. Now, this young woman, as she said, she could have gotten on the bus and gone to the church. That's what she wanted to do. But she said, "I can stop my feet from walking to him. I cannot stop thinking and dreaming." She wants to go and see him. She wills not to. Do you understand the difference? You may not want to do what you know God wants you to do, but you can will to do what he wants you to do. Don't ever allow the devil to take you in with the argument, "You got to do what you got to do," because if you do something you don't want to do, or you don't do something you do want to do, you're being a hypocrite. Now that's rubbish. Do you think that a mother changes a baby's diapers when she wants to, when she feels like it? No, she changes the baby's diaper when the baby's diaper needs to be changed. She wills to do it. It has nothing to do with whether she feels good about it. The same thing is true with the man who goes to work in the morning. My guess is that quite a few mornings of the week, the man would like to sleep in. He'd like to lounge in the backyard with a cup of coffee and a newspaper. He doesn't want to go to work, but he gets on the train or he gets in the car and he goes to work, wanting and willing. There's a little poem that I came across by Anna J. Granis. "I saw a little child with bandaged eyes put up its hands to feel its mother's face. She bent and took the tender groping palms and pressed them to her lips, a little space. I know a soul made blind by its desires, and yet its faith keeps feeling for God's face. Bend down, O mighty love, and let that faith one little moment touch thy lips of grace. The little child with the bandaged eyes puts up its hands to feel the mother's face, and what does the mother do in response? She takes the little hands and presses them to her lips. The same thing is what our loving God does. Even if we are made blind by desires, the things that we want, yet faith, which is a willed act, keeps feeling for God's face. And when we will to come to Him, will to seek His face, then He, in tender love, reaches down and takes our hands and leads us to Him. George MacDonald said, "If I felt my heart as hard as a stone, if I did not love God or man or woman or little child, I would yet say to God in my heart, O God, see how I trust Thee, because Thou art perfect and not changeable like me. I do not love Thee. I love nobody. I am not even sorry for it. Thou seest how much I need Thee to come close to me, to put Thy arm around me, to say to me, My child. For the worse my state, the greater my need of my Father, who loves me." If there's anyone listening today who feels as though he has no religious feelings whatsoever, but still desires God, believe me, the Father waits for your slightest move in His direction, and He will meet you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.